Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back once again to Samuel Adams Returns. Those anti-federalists, they did get it right. And this is Tom Navolis, your host. And I am delighted that you are willing to come back again this week and go look in those mirrors of history. Well, this week, we're going to take and kind of stay a little bit tighter into our present day environment. And we're just jam-packed as always with just so much information. But one of the things that I'd like you to do is to go to samueladamsreturns.net because we're updating none other than the series that I'm doing for my grandkids that is the title Chaplains and Clergy of the Revolution by J.T. Headley. It was written in 1864. And I just got to tell you is that every pastor needs to read the book. It's in PDF. You could go to samueladamsreturns.net, go into the menu up on the top there, and take and click on Chaplains and Clergy. And then in that page, you can find where you can download the PDF. Or if you want to hear me reading it to my grandkids, you can take and listen to the series there with those various, just the title page and go through that there and click on it. Listen to the podcast portion of it. Actually, not all of them have the podcast up yet. I'm just working on getting some of the earlier ones. But all the new ones, I think, starting around chapter 31, do have the podcast as well as the video. But all the other ones, hey, you get to see me in video and listen along. But really, get your pastors to go read the book at least, because in surviving what is going on with all of the insanities that we're going to be talking about today, and we have been, and everybody's talking about it, in doing that, it has to get back to our foundational core, our foundational root. And as Mr. Headley noted very, very clearly, it was because of the chaplains and the clergy who became chaplains during the Revolutionary War, that we are a free nation. If it wasn't for them standing up against despotism and tyranny, then we wouldn't be what we are. As I said a week ago, you know, we would be locked into the Church of England and be maybe different than Canada, but definitely like Canada and Australia were as part of the great empire for a long period of time. Be a whole lot different world. So thank you to those historical clergy that are unlike the clergy today and are not standing up against despotism. Whoa, Tom, what are you talking about? Despotism? It's all about the virus. It's all about all that is going on. Well, I started writing an article, which I will eventually finish, but as life goes by, you know, there's a lot of things to get done besides just writing. And I titled or am titling the article, Welcome to the United States of Venezuela Through the Matrix. Because, look, as you can see behind me, if you're looking at this on YouTube or looking at it at the archive at samueladamsreturns.net, I'm in the Matrix right now. And, you know, those bits and bytes, they're just all consuming. The technocrats have taken and done so much. And there are so many components of what is happening here that the people of America, as we've talked about before, and you're hearing so many other people talk about, is that the intelligentsia is now in prime form. There's an article that's in your notes, in your references, that is very interesting, and I have to jump around to find it again real quick here. It's always interesting how you put all your notes together and you think you're going to be flowing with your program. But anyway, here we go. There is a book that is a PDF that you can download again at the website in this archive for this program. It is written by a Thomas S. Kuhn, and it's called The Structure of Scientific Revolutions. I wanted to get to this because I started reading this book a while ago, and it's not a long book. It's only, what, less than 200 pages, I think. Let me look. No, it is. It's 226 pages. It goes through all of these various ideas and structures. Let me just kind of take you through the index a little bit here, where the context is. It's an introduction as the role of history, the route to normal science, the nature of normal science as puzzle solving, the priority of paradigms, the anomaly and emergences of scientific discoveries, crisis and emergence of scientific theories, the response to a crisis, and the nature and necessity of scientific revolution, and then revolutions as changes of worldview. In here, and I'm just going to give you kind of like a 500,000 foot view, is that when you take and you start going through and you start comparing to everything that we have going on, and this book was written back in 1962, okay? So when I start thinking about 1962 and then that time frame, you know, my favorite book of None Dare Call It Treason, geez, right about the same time. And I think one of the other things that I heard that Rush Limbaugh said on Wednesday was something about that we don't teach about communism anymore, really. I mean, that was something that was taken out by Bill Clinton, was any messages even within the training of our military around communism. I mean, we could go back to Jimmy Carter on that when he started whacking all of that out, but Clinton really took that out. Carter started that whole process of taking out information and training, especially military training around communism. I was way pre-Carter, so I learned about communism and to fight communists and how to identify communists. And I can clearly say that we have a lot of communists in our local, state, and federal governments. And with that is why we have a lot of what we have, because. But this book, getting back to this book in particular, and again, I'll give you the title of the book. It is called The Structure of Scientific Revolutions by Thomas S. Kuhn, K-U-H-N. Get it in the archives. You'll see it there. And we're back out of the matrix here somewhere. And what's important about this book is that we're seeing the scientific revolution consuming the United States of America. We're seeing the paradigm shift that we are being ruled and consumed by academics, so-called scientists, who are taking and dictating policy all the way down to the state level. Our states must open up, and the people need to revolt for a number of different reasons. And that revolt is get in your car, drive to your state capital, drive around honking your horns as a mass of patriots fed up with academics and bureaucrats who are inflicting despotism to the tune of tyranny against you, against you. When bureaucrats are telling people, and we're going to get into the next segment. I went back to that worldview and actually did some movies that you'll see cut in, and I'll talk about them in the next segment, that show the numbers of what's happening from a health perspective, science, staying in tune with the structure of scientific revolutions, and how that health, people are dying all over the place every moment. People are being born every moment. That happens. More people are dying, as you'll see, from other things than this. Is it terrible? For those that go through the process, yeah. Those who get it, yeah. But numerically and statistically, we're being played, okay? And I don't know where the source is. I've read a lot of stories. I've done a lot of research, but we're being played. So the structure of scientific revolution allows for a paradigm shift. So we have the technocrats. We have all of those out of Silicon Valley. Remember, they are silly and they are con artists. And they have pulled a big con on us, with, and us being the U.S., in conjunction with the globalist scientific world, creating a revolution that has taken and put us into a form of slavery by the despotism, including our state's governors. Are there ways to handle things? Yeah. Are there ways to prepare for things? Yeah. But the issue at hand is that the anti-federalists predicted, again, they predicted that if you have designing people, they could utilize the Constitution to take and pervert and destroy our liberties. And when we take and we look, and you go read this book, and you see how science changes from its problem-solving methods, means, and trying to understand the created world according to God's purposes and doing those things that would benefit us based on His creation, to taking and making that paradigm shift, to which now they become the bureaucratic lords, and the people, because of the educational system, have taken and made them their gods, made science their gods. They're not. Not even the politicians, they're not gods either. So what we have going on here, we have a lot of interesting paradigm shifts. We have a lot of issues that are happening where the intelligentsia, the technocrats, and everybody else are taking and moving through a point of destroying all that has been established by our founding fathers. So what we have to do at this point, and we're going to get into the next segment, and when we get into the next segment, we are going to take, and I'm going to go through those video clips, take us back in and out of the matrix, if you will. And we will take and try and establish what do we have to do to take and get our country back, get our nation back on its footing, get our liberties back. Because, you know, when a governor is telling you you have to wear a mask, when elderly are told in their nursing home that they must wear a mask in their rooms and never leave their rooms. They can't leave their rooms and they have to wear a mask in that. I'm telling you, that's tyranny. That's not liberty. So we have a long way to go here, folks, in taking and standing up for what is right. And we're going to do that. Again, go look at this book and understand that, you know, Sam Adams, he had a clear picture of it. As well as did those anti-federalists. You know, they wrote about what would happen in times like this from a perspective of human nature in relationship to government and God. Come on back in the next segment. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to this second segment of Samuel Adams Returns. Those anti-federalists, they did. They absolutely got it right. This is Tom Novulis, your host, and I am absolutely delighted again for all of you that are rejoining us here at none other than Liberty Works Radio Network. And that Liberty Works Radio Network has hosted me for these many years. It's just a great place to be. Great host and hostesses, live programming during the week that is really interesting. And as I always do, I highly suggest that you take and you look through all the other hosts and hostesses, pick out that program that you want to get that additional information on, and what? You know the answer. Hit that donate button there on the page at libertyworksradionetwork.com. You can always find it also at lwrn.net, and it will take you right there to the homepage, as you well know, if you're a regular listener. And if you're a new listener, you know, now you know how to get there. So let's continue on. Oh, my goodness. We were kind of wrapping up with the whole idea of these mirrors in history, and the reflection isn't that from the past. Is absolutely what's going on in the present. And that what we're seeing is the move of despotism, no different than it was during our founding era, that is attacking individual rights, the individual right to your happiness, the individual right even to your property, and the individual rights to take and carry on in a way that is normal livelihood. Now, I did bring out to you that even during the Revolutionary War, there was an outbreak of smallpox, that the whole idea of disease hitting humankind is nothing new. And we're going to go over in a little bit some of the statistics, global statistics, as well as those that are here specific to the United States. Now, I usually go to the website that is called worldmeters with an S, .info. And for those that will join me on the video of this, and you can see the archives at SamuelAdamsReturns.net, I'm including a clip in here that I recorded that shows a live ticking of information. But before I get to that and kind of try and talk you through that with the tricks of technology, if I can be successful, but more importantly is talking about that despotism and where we see the despots. Now, this past week, we saw the people revolting, exercising their freedom and liberty to come together, and they did it in a manner that didn't get them thrown in jail, because the governor of Michigan surely would have done that, and her name's not Shirley. But the fact of the matter is, Kathy snarking over here about me saying Shirley, her name's not Shirley. But the fact of the matter is, she is a despot. She is a mini despot, no different than many of the other governors. Now you have Governor Cuomo, who on the one hand and out of one side of his mouth, he takes and he's out there screaming, yelling, and begging for Trump to take and President Trump to come out and help me, save me, give me all of these ventilators, do all of this, do all of that. And the federal government responded. President Trump ensured that the federal government would respond in the fact that he declared an emergency. And we're going to talk about that in the third segment, because people are questioning, well, what right does he have to do this? And is it in the Constitution? All of a sudden, all these limp-wristed, low-life, scum-of-the-earth people in the demediators or demedia, yeah, demedia, I guess that's you would say the Democrat media, demedia, the demeaning demedia. Hey, we can make that a new word. You know, you can make up words now. You make up words, you can make up meanings, all that type of stuff. So we might as well do it too. But the point is that the governor there in Michigan, She is a demagogue. She is a despot. She is exactly what the globalists, socialists are and want. No different than this Pennsylvania governor and now Mr. Cuomo. And he's not a Cuomo wrestler. He's just a Cuomo up there in New York mandating that you wear a mask if you leave. But in Pennsylvania, they're saying that, employees and customers of every business have to wear a mask. Really? Come on. You know, Kath and I, when I had an eye doctor appointment this week, and, I needed to go see the eye doctor. And as much as I think this is all phony baloney, I have to say that when we went into the medical facility, they did stop you at the door, and they had an infrared scanner that took your temperature. Okay, big deal. Before we went into the office, they took your, had a scanner, took your temperature. Okay, fine. Take people's temperatures. Do something like that. It may be an indicator of something else because people don't take their temperatures, or, maybe they just were wrapped up in a lot of clothes because it's still cold outside. I don't know. But the rest of this stuff, that is something that is common sense, but does it have to be mandated by government? No. When government mandates it, and when all of the state legislatures are out of session, including the U.S. Congress, except for the dribble dibble that they're doing so that they don't get counted as being out of session in the games that they're playing so that the president cannot exercise presidential authorities. That's over the top, folks. It's over the top. And if you don't know that, then you have a long way to go. But anyway, you can go into the references. You can see, this Governor Tom Wolf of Pennsylvania. He's, again, a demoncrat, a demagogue. And, it is what it is with these people. They're out of control. And the people are the sheeple. So, except for Michigan's actually standing up. Ohio is starting to stand up. They had a couple rallies this past week. People getting down there and yelling and getting Governor DeSwine's interest. Ignored them all, but, at least he, the noise of it came through at the press conference. And there's going to be more rallies. There's going to be a rally on today's a rally going on. And then next Saturday on the 25th is one that Kath and I will have an opportunity to participate in as well. So we're looking forward to that. But let's get over here to the statistics, because we have Dr. Birx and Dr. So-and-so and all of the other intelligentsia that's out there and all of these doctors and these scientists. And as they get there, oh gosh, what's the name of that C.S. Lewis book or with the mad scientist that takes and he's really a demon possessed? Go figure that one out. All right. So nonetheless, I am going to try and sync this up with scrolling this information and talking to it, and I hope I can do this in a good 2-minute period of time, is that from the worldometers.info, we're seeing this thing just clicking off here, and what we have going on is that we have about 7 million types of world population is like 7 billion. We have this year alone globally 40 million birds. Birds today have been in around 200,000. You can see it clicking off when I did this thing. Deaths this year is 17 million. Deaths today, 83,000. That's generalized population. Net population growth, 23 million. Net population growth today is 115,000. Then we can go into all of these as you're seeing that scroll through there on the screen as it talks about government economics. Oh, here's really interesting. Public health care expenditure today with everything is actually about $7 trillion. All right. I don't know that I'm going to have time to complete everything here. I'm letting this scroll. But the bottom line that we wanted to get to is this on health and just the deaths on communicable diseases alone has been over 3 million. Seasonal flu is 141,000. How about those other ones? Abortion, over 12 million. HIV, deaths caused by HIV. Death caused by cancer is over 2 million. You know, you got over 1.5 million people died this year from smoking. Okay. And I mean, just these statistics alone. Oh, here's one. Traffic accidents globally, 393,000 and clicking away. All right, we're going to have to get to the U.S. statistics in the next segment. And we're going to have to, because that's about a good 2-minute video as well. I can clip out of that, and I will. For those that will watch it on YouTube, here is that's what I did, is I'm measuring things together. I'm trying to work some technologies that I've never done before in all of this. So it's kind of interesting for me. But, you know, I let folks know, hey, I keep experimenting. You know, this is an army of two here with Kath and I. So we do the best we can and everything. But, you know, the bottom line is, when you start taking and you're looking at the coronavirus stuff, it's a hoax from the perspective that it is not a raging pandemic when you look at it statistically against every other form of death on the planet. Is it bad? Did it come from China? Is it propagated by the media and the technocrats and the globalists like Bill Gates? Are there nefarious components to it, like forcing everybody to have a virus, taking and being able to shut down global economies, the U.S. economy, trying to make Donald Trump look bad because he's the only one standing up against a globalist that would have us all enslaved? I saw an article out there that I didn't bring in. It is called Benevolent Despotism, and that's basically what de Tocqueville talked about, is that would the sheeple would eventually vote in under our constitutional form of government, and this is what the Anti-Federalists warned against, is that we could have a benevolent, dictatorship under the likes of a Hillary Clinton or any of the Democrats, because, you know what, that's what the socialist globalists are all about. But what we haven't taught, and going back to the first segment, and what Rush Limbaugh said on Thursday or Wednesday, it was Wednesday that he said it, was the whole thing that we haven't taught about communism. So go back even to Nun, and I'm looking over in a bookcase over here, is that Nun Dare Call It Treason laid it out back in the 60s. The whole thing that I started the program with, on all of, you know, scientific revolution was talked about in the 60s. Ladies and gentlemen, I have to laugh because everybody's hair's on fire right now, and not because they're a good-looking redhead like Kathy, but their hair is on fire because they're saying, oh my, all my liberties are being taken away, all my freedoms, what do we do? What's happened? Why hasn't anybody told me? Hey folks, you've been being told since back in the 60s, and you haven't been reading history, nor have you been taught it, and especially you pastors, you church leaders. Most of you are fools because you're ignorant, so you're doing dumb stuff because you don't know any better, and you haven't read what I talked about in the first segment, are the chaplains and clergies of the American Revolution. So you don't know. So, you know, I'm not trying to be hard on you, but Sam Adams lived it. He understood it. He knew it, as well did those anti-federalists. You know something? They absolutely got it right in predicting that we would be where we are today. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to this third segment of Samuel Adams Returns. Those anti-federalists, they absolutely got it right. And we continue to prove that every week that we come together as we look into those mirrors of history. And I'm trying to catch up here a little bit on some fun stuff that we're going to be talking about that we couldn't get in the last segment. And we're going to just get it all packed in this segment. But first of all, I would like to welcome back everybody down there in Lima, Ohio to this third segment and all of those folks on, I know, I call you Screaming Eagles, but you're on SoaringEagleRadio.com. You know, that's WTTP 101.1 FM down there in Lima, Ohio. I know, I should put on my disc jockey voice and be a part of the radio programming out there in the real world. I just got that Northeast Ohio accent. What can I say? Hey, we're having fun. In the midst of the insanity and the despotisms that take and are covering our great land. Well, with that, hey, welcome back, Soaring Eagle, and all the other folks that are here at Liberty Works Radio Network and across the globe, because we have folks that are listening to the podcast, and we're so delighted that you're doing that. So we're going to jump back into these statistics, and this is where I wanted to drive down, especially as I get to Ohio. Hey, Governor DeSwine, it's about time you opened up the Ohio economy, because you have your, let's see, B.H.O. Acton is leading you astray and destroying our state, our state. B.H.O. Acton, who is that? That is the Barack Hussein Obama Acton chick that you have as the head of the health department. She is a Democrat scientific person that is giving you bad guidance. Man, I don't get it, you know, except for the fact that, yeah, I do get it. You're a Kasich holdover. And anyway, all right, sorry, folks, enough of Ohio specific. We'll take and we'll get back, because this is something that the anti-federalists said when you would have designing people. What they meant by designing, they meant by people that wanted to destroy your liberties and freedoms and would use constitutionalism to do it. So I got to say this, because I got to pick it up from last week. Hamilton is dancing. Hamilton is just dancing in his grave, because what we're seeing with the Dominia is the Dominia there at the press conferences are taking and they twist in and out of constitutionalism and federalism, and they mix it up and they spin their questions in such a way that, are you confused yet? Do you understand the difference? And what Hamilton wanted was a consolidated government. So the demeaning media, I got to keep repeating that, because I'm going to create that word and hopefully it'll go, you know, viral someday. But the whole point of that is that, because people don't understand communism, they don't understand federalism, they don't understand constitutionalism, the media takes and twists that in such a way, and the way that they take and they keep approaching President Trump with it, that what happens is that the federal government had to act. And what we're going to talk about just in a few minutes is that the president, under the National Emergency Act, can. 136 powers that he would not normally have, he is granted, and then some, especially around medical national emergencies. And it's all in your notes. It's all there at SamuelAdamsReturns.net. You can see it all. But anyway, let's get to our little video clip right now. Back to the Matrix, my friends. Back to the Matrix. Okay, here it is. Now, this is the Chi-Com flu You know, we were showing you some of the things on the countries, and there's like 210 countries that are now affected with this. And what you can see here is what those numbers are, what the total cases are. And let's go to the U.S. and let's see more specifically what is happening there, because as we're seeing that death rate. So here we go. In the U.S., coronavirus cases, I call it Chi-Com, is 653,751, 33,000 deaths, 56,000 recovered. Look at this. I'm showing you right here. 90,000 cases which had an outcome. So you got to keep putting that math together. You know, 56,000, 90,000. It still never adds up correctly. But then as we're going through here, I'm starting to move you through each state, and I'm not necessarily going to go through all of the states, but New York is out there. New York has more deaths that they've seen. And again, dense population, what did they do? What happened? There's a lot of theories on all of that. New Jersey on what the total cases are. You can see as it moves along all these various cases. But I think what you have to look to is at the active cases and then what the numbers are in that population based on the 1 million population, and then the total tested, and those tested per 1 million population. But look at Ohio. So here it is, Governor DeSwine. Ohio has right now, as of this, this number I think was back on Thursday, is that there were 7,700 cases. You had 361 deaths. Active cases are actually 7,310. You had, they're on a population basis per million, 669. You keep going down a little bit more, and you can see where these numbers are. And Ohio is right there. Okay, kind of in the upper middle of 7,000 cases, but ladies and gentlemen, why are a lot of these places shut down? Because when you go and you look at the rest of the CDC statistics, more people are dying from a regular flu, more people are dying from heart attacks, more people are dying from cancer, and a lot of babies are dying from abortion. But, oh, that doesn't matter. Oh, yeah, and then when we're talking about the U.S. military and what the Chi-Coms and the CNN has been promoting, that the Chinese Navy's doing it better. Well, you can see there's a number there that the U.S. military, 4,700 cases, 17 that have died within all of the military around that. I don't know, folks. You have to go ahead and look again at the statistics for yourself and do the comparison in your state as to how many people normally die, because God says it's their time to die for all natural causes, and then look at the deaths in relationship to the various diseases according to other diseases. Make sense out of it. This does not make sense. To impose the levels of despotism that are being imposed upon us and the tyranny by the actions of taking away our rights and liberties. You know, one of our God-given rights is to produce, that means to work. One of the very fundamentals in the Declaration of Independence is our happiness, and our happiness is by virtue of how we work and how we live in economy and how we take and we maintain and manage our possessions. A lot of folks are going to be losing their possessions because they can't maintain it, because they can't work. You know what? That's absolute tyranny. I don't know. I don't know what to say. And the religious freedom, I didn't even touch on that, because you know what? The mega churches really don't give a flying rip. So, because they don't understand the fundamentals. Anyway, I got to keep moving on. So in moving on, what we're going to there that's in the references, and I want you to take a look at, is that we have something that's called the National Emergencies Act that was revised in 1976 because it was way older than that. And powers were taken away over the course of the years. It actually went into effect under Woodrow Wilson back in 1917. Whoa! Folks, remember what happened in 1913, 1917. Not only World War I, but remember, what did we get? We got our states' rights taken away by the 17th Amendment and the whole fact that, yeah, senators are now generally elected by the population, which the anti-federalists, they argued kind of both ways on it, but the majority of them knew that it would become an oligarchy. All right, let's just keep on going. And oh yeah, we got income tax too, which was never supposed to be the way that it is. So we go on that. So anyway, there were a lot of powers that happened. FDR, in 1933, he just asserted powers to declare emergencies without any limitation or limiting their scope or their duration without citing the relevant statutes and without congressional oversight. Now, in my book that is from Covenant to the Present Constitution, I actually have a picture there of the chairman of Montgomery Ward's being carried out by the military upon the orders of none other than FDR, because he wasn't listening to FDR and he was being resistant to FDR taking over his company for the benefit of the unions. Now, the other things that we can go on and look at is that things changed. The War Power Act became, the National Emergency Act became more under control of Congress, and the Supreme Court in a certain case was there. And there were things that happened around the banking, and you can go and you can look at the links that I have at on SamuelAdamsReturns.net for this program and take a look and start researching this for yourself. But the fact and the matter is that there are 136 provisions that are there. Now, the fact also is that a list of including those presidents from Woodrow Wilson all the way through to Barack Obama, who used it quite a bit as well, as did Bush, as did Clinton, as did others, and they used this national emergency. And so let's see, Obama didn't get slammed up against the side of the head for using it for H1N1. He didn't get slapped up the side of the head for blocking property to certain persons around Somalia. He didn't get slapped up against the head for what he did around Yemen. He didn't get slapped around. Come on, folks. He was using these things for all sorts of stuff. You know, Bush used them again. Many, many presidents have used it 60 times since its inception. Now, there are a lot of powers given to the president. I have the different reports. I have that different information there, again, at the archives and for today's program that you can go and look at and study for yourself. Some of them are more directed towards the military. Some you sit there and you go, why would he have that? Why would he do that? The point is that Congress gave up a lot of its oversight and powers directly to the president. They retain certain things that the president can do and has to report back to them. But all in all, yeah, the president has a lot of power, no matter which president it is, no matter what party it is. And quite frankly, those were concerns of the anti-federalists, because they really called out how the president could become almost a dictator. They didn't care. They saw things that could happen. So I think we have the right president at the right time. So what do you need to do in the last few seconds? What you need to do, get in your car, go to your state capitol, get together with as many citizens that are concerned about reopening your state, and honk your horns. Get out there and protest as much as you can and not get arrested, okay? But get out there. Sam Adams did. He raised a ruckus by word and by deed. Come on back next week.